Welcome back to Tome of Tales. Set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign, this episode continues after the events of A Bone to Pick Coda. Co-written with Toby, who plays Varys Nalo, and NPC Lady Antonia du Montpas, Leeksy, who plays Bane Cinderwood, Annie, who plays Gesh, Sophie, who plays Bibi, and Jamie, who plays Mary Taffeta Thistletop. It is called The Dead Knight Rises. They arrive back in Portal Plaza in Daring Heights mid-evening, the bustling town starting to wind down for the night. Arcadius nods to them all, but does not look at Cheryl, and quickly takes his leave. Ida squeaks at him, looks back at the small female, and then squeaks at Arcadius again, but he is still ignoring her. Cheryl watches him go, but does not stop him, secretly glad he is not staying. Gesh, Bibi, Taffeta, Bane, and Cheryl start to make their way to Castleside, heading in the direction of the Order of the Crimson Fist compound. There are some mutterings about maybe having a quick bite to eat before they do the resurrection, but nothing is decided upon. They do agree that someone should speak to Varys before they attempt to bring the dead knight back to life. Cheryl picks up the pace a bit, her quick feet light in the quiet late summer evening, and she soon outpaces the others. Gesh takes the opportunity to come close to Bane, speaking quietly so his voice won't carry.
I know what it's like.
Gesh starts.
If you want to talk about it, or if you just want to drink and chat about other things, that's all fine too. If you want a vent, come find me at the Etten.
Cheryl has already passed underneath the red brick archway, glancing back with a nod to Bane before making a beeline for Varys' quarters. The yard stands quiet, the hard-packed earth neat, but with the lonely air of a space too big for its inhabitants. A soft light shines beneath the door to the mess, but apart from the stables, most of the buildings are empty and quiet. Gesh stops short.
Actually, I might stick around here for a bit.
The Dragonborn states, feeling his stomach drop as he finally realizes the scale of what happened in the Rift War, the enormity of the Order sacrifice in the wastes of Avernus.
Help the newbies with training.
Bane foregoes words, but claps his friend on the shoulder, nodding his thanks. The two warriors drag one of the tables from the mess into Varys' quarters and lay the body of the fallen knight out on top of it. Her skin is an angry, blistered red, and Bane shudders, recalling for a moment the creature of boiling blood that tried to consume them in the deserted drow village. At the back of the group, Varys stands and watches their preparations with an unreadable expression. Clearing some space around the table, Cheryl begins by drawing out a diamond of exquisite quality from her belt pouch and making sure the others are ready for whatever comes next. Knowing how late it is and wishing to get home, Taffeta taps Bane on the arm and nods towards the open door. Bane walks her out into the quiet of the evening, not quite able to meet her gaze.
We were going to try not making other people's decisions for them,
the halfling says quietly to him as she glances back inside toward Cheryl. She isn't being accusatory, but the disappointment is clear in her voice, though it's not directed at Bane. Bane looks equally sad and disappointed, and laughs a little helplessly.
I know.
Yeah.
She pauses.
I don't know if that was an option with this one. Maybe not. I don't know.
Taffeta pats him on the forearm.
Rest. Look after yourself. Come to the house sometime for tea.
Taken aback, Bane is at a loss for words for what feels like the 1,000th time that day, and he can only nod his acceptance. He watches her head off with a look of sadness and wonder on his face, before shaking his head to clear it and walking back inside. As he enters, Cheryl looks up at him before flicking her gaze over the others in the room. She sits cross-legged at the head of the table, leaning slightly forward, one hand holding the diamond over the knight's heart, and the other hovering just over her forehead.
"It'll take me about an hour to bring her back,"
she says. "Are we ready?" As her companions nod their assent, she closes her eyes and begins to hum. It's searching, drifting, but with purpose. The moment she alights on the right tone, the fire and the hearth and the flames and the lanterns burn brighter for a moment, and there is a wave of warmth that washes over all as the Fey Bard begins to weave a song together with powerful, arcane magic. The gem in her circlet glows gently as her humming transforms into a melody, notes filling the quiet space with an almost physical presence. Bane sinks into his usual armchair by the fire. Gesh crosses his arms and leans his back against a wall. Bibi lowers herself to the floor and sits cross-legged, arms behind his back. Varys stands by his desk. The slow notes of Cheryl's magic drift through the room, each of them feeling her finish the overture and begin the call to the night spirit. They wait. As the hour draws to a close and the song Cheryl has been singing reaches a crescendo, Bane rises from his seat and makes his way over. He nods at Gesh to join him, and together they flank the table, one on each side, ready to spring into action if needed. Bibi stands up but stays back, hand hovering over the component pouch tied at her hip. Cheryl sings one final high note, and the diamond in her hand glows bright blue before shattering into a fine dust that spreads over the sunburst on the knight's breastplate. As the iridescent powder settles, her skin smooths and lightens, the angry red blisters fading. She takes one shuddering breath, her eyelids fluttering, and then lies still again. A small, tanned hand lightly traces a warm line across the knight's smooth brow.
"Welcome back,"
Cheryl says softly, the warmth of a smile in her words. Eyes the color of polar ice snap open, and the knight sits up sharply, taking in the room in a moment. There is a crack, like stone splitting in a frost, and she vanishes, reappearing on the far side of the room near where Varys' arms and armor are neatly racked. Drawing his longsword from its sheath, she whirls to face the room.
"I am Lady Antonia du Maupas, Knight of the Order of the Sword of the Dawn. Who art thou, and why hast thou brought me to this place?"
Her voice carries the calm authority of one used to being obeyed. She eyes the room with professional wariness, appraising each of them with clinical efficiency. Bane can't help but give a small grin as he raises his hands in a placating gesture.
"It is an honor to meet you, Lady Antonia du Maupas,"
Cheryl says, bowing her head. She gracefully stands up on the table and then lightly leaps down,
My name is Cheryl, and these are my companions. She gestures to everyone in the room, but her eyes stay on the night. What is the last thing you remember? The knight ignores Cheryl's question.
What call ye this place?
Bane lowers his hands, keeping them loosely at his sides. Lady Antonia, I'm Sir Bane Cinderwood of the Order of the Crimson Fist. Me and my friends found you on a recent mission and brought you back so Cheryl here could resurrect you. You're at the military compound of the previously mentioned order in Daring Heights. He says the words with some care and looks just a little proud of himself. Lady Antonia's eyes narrow slightly.
I have not heard of this Crimson Fist you speak of. Be ye mercenaries?
Nah, mate, we're knights and protectors. He replies. She looks somewhat skeptical, but does not challenge him. You're safe. Bane continues. We mean you no harm, but if you don't mind, I'm sure we could all use some extra reassurance on that topic. Are you familiar with spells that make people tell the truth? At the mention of magic, Lady Antonia's grip tightens on the sword.
Bane, maybe we should slow down a little? Cheryl suggests, looking at Antonia with concern.
The best way to reassure everyone is to lay it all out, I reckon. That way, we'll know if she's a threat to us, and she'll know if we're a threat to her.
He replies, without taking his eyes off of Antonia. His voice is kind, but firm, brooking no argument. The knight turns her full attention to the half-orc, and where before her voice was iron, now it is ice.
You claim knighthood, sir. Mayhap then you can answer me this. Would a knight, a true champion of the Morning Lord, accept the impugning of her honor by common rat-catchers? I am an anointed servant of Lathander. I will not submit to interrogation by a band of hapless ruffians, however well-intentioned.
Bane's jaw slacks for a moment as he takes in her words, stunned, before letting out a small, incredulous laugh. He looks from the knight, this fellow paladin of the dawn, to Varys, to Cheryl, and back again speechless. Cheryl steps forward, looking up at Lady Antonia, the kindness in her face receding a little as she locks eyes with the imposing woman.
Lady Antonia, we do not wish you harm. If we did, we would not have brought you back. But I called to you and your spirit answered, for which I am glad. But, as a champion of the Morning Lord, you must understand our caution.
Her face darkens for a moment, but she blinks, and it clears.
We found you, dead, in the Underdark, where we fought a rather powerful undead creature. We have no way of knowing how you got there or why, but we wanted to give you another chance at life. Please, answer my question from before. What is the last thing you remember?
As Cheryl describes her apparent rescue, the knight's face grows darker, her frown deepening.
I was sent hither by the Lord Commander, seeking the soul tether of the arch-traitor, Semester.
She cuts off abruptly, the color draining from her face. For the first time, her words are stilted, juttering.
What year is it by the Dale Reckoning?
Cheryl's brows knit together in dawning concern as she answers.
The second day of Alaint.
She pauses.
1497.
Why? What year do you last remember it being? Gesh pipes up from the corner,
but Lady Antonia seems not to hear him. Her face is the color of fresh snow, and she has time to utter only one word before her eyes roll up into her head and she collapses.
How?
This post-session write-up was called The Dead Knight Rises. Set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign run by the London RPG community. Co-written with Toby, who plays Varys Nalo, and NPC Lady Antonia de Montpas, Leeksy, who plays Bane Cinderwood, Annie, who plays Gesh, Sophie, who plays Bibi, and Jamie, who plays Mary Taffeta Thistletop. Lady Antonia de Montpas was voiced by Jess Smo Ray. If you wish to help support Tome of Tales, please consider buying me a coffee. You can find the link in the description. Thank you for listening. Tune in again for the next chapter in Cheryl's story.